I'd like to invite you all to turn in your Bibles first to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And why don't you hold that spot, and then we're going to start in Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Let's get background for tonight's discussion. Joseph can't catch a break. I'd like to read the first 12 verses of that. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he owned, he put in his charge. And it came about that from that time, he made him over. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned and the house, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here. My master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in the house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. Well, seems poor Joseph can't seem to catch a break, doesn't it? He was first, sold into slavery by his brothers. Then finding favor with his master is made head of all the household. But it's because of Joseph's godly character and because of his integrity, his master Potiphar promotes him as head of the whole household. But then the scandalous and adulterous woman can't seem to keep her eyes and hands off of Joseph, and so he finds himself challenged again. The text tells us that she grabbed him and he left the garment in her hand and fled outside. In other words, he didn't sit her down and try to explain to her God's word and why this was such a sin. He didn't try to reason with her. He didn't say, "Please, Miss Potiphar, let's sit and pray about this first." Because as the text shows, there were no words that were going to get him out of this situation. Joseph knew that this kind of sexual temptation is not something where you stay and battle it out with words. And so he does the very thing that Paul tells us in Timothy hundreds of years later. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, which says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart." Sometimes it's best to flee from a sinful situation so we don't find ourselves in peril of giving in. Now this is a tough subject to talk about, but when we are faced with faced daily with such sin that is thrown in our faces, we have to do something to counter it. The first thing that we need to think about is fleeing is visual lust. We look in Job 31 and verse 1. "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" The eyes are where the sin begins at. As we see here in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. And again, Matthew 5:28, everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see that the eyes are where the sin begins, because as it says there, it's the lamp of the body. So we have to combat that by ridding ourselves of anything that looks suggestive, because the more that we feed our eyes, the more likely it becomes for us to pursue the sin further. And as Matthew 5:29 says, to get rid of all the things that are causing you to sin. It says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Next, we have the mental aspect. You'll turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The text doesn't say this, but I'm sure Potiphar's wife was very attractive, and so Joseph, which does says that he was attractive, and a young virgin man with the weight of all this responsibility on him, on his shoulders, as you see there in Genesis 39, and without the hindsight that we had today to see these examples, how much chance would you have given Joseph in a normal situation? Where it says there that Potiphar has put all that he owns in his charge. How could I do this to my master? He then says, How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? In other words, with everything going on around him, his mindset was, how could I do this against the God that has given me so much? This is something that we also need to keep in our minds when we are approached with temptation. Another example would be in 2 Samuel, when David finds Bathsheba, and he sins against her, and how he felt after, and what Nathan told him that he had sinned against God. This is the same kind of thing. We need to reason to ourselves like Joseph did with Potiphar's wife. When God has given us so much, how can I sin against him? So we need to mentally flee. But sometimes that again is not enough, and then we have to physically flee. We see in Genesis 39:12, it says, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. No matter how hard we try sometimes, we still find ourselves in potentially harmful situations that requires us to have extra diligence. How often do we walk on the edge of sin before we get too close and we allow Satan to take advantage of us? That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. So rather than stand on the edge, we need to run as far away as we can to get out of the sinful situation. Because sometimes we do the proper thing and not look where we ought not look, and we have the right reasoning in our heads to guard ourselves against sin. But like Joseph, sometimes we just got to hightail it out of the situation, lest we fall. So when we do flee, what should we pursue instead? 2 Timothy 2:22 has it for us, that we need to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Joseph fled to righteousness, faith, love, and peace. But it's not just about fleeing from sin. It's about fleeing to something better. As we see in Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We need to fill our minds with righteousness, to do what is right, not what feels good at the moment. We need to have faith, knowing that the God we serve rewards our sacrifices. We need to have love, and we need to honor godly standards. And we need to have peace. And all of this will allow us to be diligent, because to exchange righteousness for convenience is a very bad deal. And it's not a deal that any of us need to make. We need to come to terms beforehand. Now, we know where we should flee to, but we don't have to do this alone. Again, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:22, that we can flee with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. And those people are the church, family, and friends, and a potential mate or our mate. We have the church, our family, and friends. We all face temptation, but we are never alone in that. If we ever have to flee a situation, we know who we can always count on. So let me ask you a question tonight. Is there someone out there that is ready to flee from the world? That is ready to fill their minds with righteousness, with faith, with love, and peace? That is ready to join those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart? Or is there a brother or sister that is ready to flee back to the body of Christ? If so, whatever we can do for you, won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?